Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land that we are broadcasting from. I also would like to pay my respects to our elders and also elders of more recent arrival. And a big shout out to everybody around the continent that is taking our program via the National Indigenous Radio Service NERS, or if you're tuning in via our app 98.9FM for the best country, which you can download for free from your app store, so please do so. Or if you're tuning in via our website 98.9FM.com.au, where you can sort of stream us on demand. And if you're listening via podcast, where you can catch us on Apple Podcast or Spotify, those platforms beaming us into your communities. And as always, it is great to have your company. It's been a good weekend. Riding solo for this week. Karina's on holidays, and then when she comes back, she's here one day a week. So back to normal, which is good. Now, Gammon, it'll be Mr. Sister Girl, but, you know, back to doing it solo for most parts, which will be good. Learnt so much from Sister Girl. Another big weekend as well. Quite a bit of hail. I think on the Brecky show, Clay said the boss's windows on his car was cracked or smashed. So poor fella. Hopefully that hopefully the hail that we get isn't too bad over you know, because I think we're coming into a pretty big storm season with sort of how the weather has been for most part of this year. But just a sort of an update for tomorrow. On tomorrow's show, I'll be yarning with Gomeroi writer, poet, and law researcher, Alison Whitaker, about coronial inquest into Aboriginal deaths in custody. One of the reasons why I wanted to have a chat about that is because last week in New South Wales alone, there was about 7 inquests into Aboriginal deaths in custody. You know, it may not be trending, but this stuff still happens, you know, to our mob. And also, you know, in different parts of the country as well, there were inquests. NT, we saw the big inquest into Kumanjang, in Perth, or Geraldton, or Western Australia. We saw another inquest as well happening. But today on the program, yarning with Rosie McGrady. Good morning, sis. Could you tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from, please?
Yeah, I'm
put that mic up a bit closer, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, my name's Rosie. Mm-hmm. I'm from Toomala, Bogabilla, Gamilaroi tribe.
Yeah. Deadly. Thanks for that. It's always good to have more Gomeroi fellas on the radio show, I say.
Of course.
Tomorrow on the program, I'm going to have another Gomeroi sister on as well. But, you know, we've got you on the program this morning to have a yarn about a launch that you're doing this Thursday at Jagera Hall in Musgrave Park here on the south side of Brisbane.
Absolutely.
Before we get to the event, you know, the work that you do is around trauma counselling. Is it? Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It's my approach. I don't call it like they do in the counselling and psychology world. I don't call it trauma-informed.
Trauma-informed, yes.
I call it culturally informed.
Deadly.
Yeah, because, you know, I want to put culture at the forefront of healing and not trauma. If we keep talking about trauma, then that's the space we're going to work in and we're not going to do healing. We need to put our culture at the front, and that is our strength and that is our healing.
Do you have a, do you have a background in sort of working with in the healing space?
Yeah. I'm a trauma specialist counsellor, and that's been what I've been doing all my working life.
Deadly.
And until I've launched a business now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess, you know, I guess the obvious question is, how do you get into something like this, or why?
Why? Because there's an obvious gap and it's not been filled. Mm. You know, there's so many, look at the rates of suicide, deaths in custody, all of this, you know, services are not accessible. they're not appropriate for our people. And, you know, so that's why I gone into this, to fill that gap and provide this service to our people.
And I think, like, just an important thing you mentioned as well, sort of filling that gap, you know, with mob that are doing that as well. And pretty much, you know, off the bat, you mentioned, you know, you're not calling it trauma informed.
No,
it's cultural informed as well. And you sort of explain that as well. And, you know, I guess, is that because of sort of where you see yourself culturally and I guess, you know, community as well?
Yeah, definitely. Because I grew up, you know, surrounded by culture and family and friends, and, you know, looking at what they've done and what's healed them, and it's all around culture. That's what heals us.
Deadly. And this event on Thursday, could you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's lots happening. Yeah, and it's not just a launch. I keep saying it's a healing revolution. It's not to be missed. It's, you know, we all, it's a space where we can all come together and heal and be educated and get connected. I'll be doing professional development on how to work with our mob in this space safely and appropriately, and that's in the morning. And then I will do the launch in the middle, and Tracy from Wattleseed will come along as well and share our expertise around decolonizing what we eat, what we take into our body, because that's a big part of our healing as well, and around food sovereignty and what that looks like. We all need to be educated on that. And then in the afternoon, Matthew Bond and I are facilitating a circle ceremony. Yeah, where we can, you know, connect and come together and heal together. And this event is open for everyone. You don't have to be Aboriginal. You know, it's open for men, women. Yeah, we all just need to come together.
You know, like another point that you just sort of mentioned that sort of like pricked my interest as well was the point about sort of, you know, decolonizing your diet, and, you know, the stuff that we put in into our bodies plays that part into sort of, you know, I guess putting us sort of on, you know, on the straight and narrow mentally as well. Could you tell us a bit about the importance of sort of, eating sort of, you know, healthy as well, and what that does for not just your self-esteem, but I guess mentally and physically as well?
Yeah, it pays. It's vital, you know, to our well-being and our spirit. You know, what we take into our body with the food we eat, it impacts us massively. And I'm not a nutritionist, or, you know, but I think I eat pretty healthily, and, you know, I call myself, what they say, a foodie, and, you know, and it really hurts me when I see family and friends and the way they eat and think it's normal. It's not. Our normal is our traditional foods. Yes, and that's what we need to think about and change our mindsets around. What is normal?
Well, that's an interesting point as well, because I think, you know, due to the things that we've experienced, you know, in our own lives, but then also, I guess, on a generational level, you know, the massive effects that, I guess, transgenerational trauma has on our mob. I guess that informs the way we eat, you know, that informs the way, I guess, we self-medicate as well. You know, and we see it, you know, it's prevalent, you know, sadly, whether it's sort of in urban settings, you know, rural or remote settings as well, we sort of see this sort of, I guess, whether you want to call it like neglect of sort of health and well-being as well. You know, you're on this journey as well. When was it for yourself the turning point to say, hey, you know, I need to sort of be more culturally informed in sort of, you know, how I, you know, look after myself mentally, but then also, you know, physically as well?
Yeah. I think it was when I actually started working in this counselling space. Yeah, when I saw and felt the helplessness of my people. And I thought, if I want to support them and help them, then I have to be better myself. And I have to lead by example. And then it just organically grew from there, I guess.
And how long ago was that? Has that been now that you've sort of been working within the space?
Probably over 20 years.
Deadly.
Yeah.
Back home in Toomala or?
Yeah. Mm. So all over New South Wales, back home at Toomala, Tamworth, Queensland, Bundaberg.
Yeah, deadly. Yeah. And because that's what I was going to say. That's my point I was getting to, because we normalize, I guess, the things that we've been through as well. Mm. How important is it, one, for ourselves, sort of say, hey, this isn't normal that we're doing, and the importance of sort of changing, whether it is sort of the way we eat or, the way we sort of self-medicate as well.
It's so important. But the thing is, we don't know what else to do. And I do get that, and I understand that. I've been there, as a Aboriginal woman growing up on the mission. I know what it's like. But, I got educated and I've been given the tools to be able to deal with this. And that's what's missing, is no one's giving our people the tools, They're just educating people, but they're not giving them tangible resources to be able to take home and use with them. And that's what I'm about, and that's what I want to do. Mm. Not just talk at people, but give them something to be able to change their lives.
Mm, definitely, and I guess one of the biggest things, whether it's sort of in urban communities or sort of in rural and remote communities, well, we sort of see, one of the biggest things is, the price of sort of living, can be hectic as well. For the most part, we're sort of paying, to sort of live in a house where we can't afford food, or the best food for our families, and so we're buying sort of, the cheap sort of unhealthy stuff as well. And, that could sort of play like a mental strain, on our people and our mob as well. How do we go about sort of, changing the self-esteem of ourselves, because we have, what is it called? Imposter syndrome, I think it is. Well, where we sort of always doubt ourselves that we're not,
We're not worthy.
Yeah. And that shame factor as well, obviously none of these things existed, within our communities traditionally and before colonization. But, that's sort of, the biggest indicators and factors that sort of, keep our mob down. In your workshops and sort of in your 20-year career within this space, how have you sort of approached, the sort of, self-hate that, some of us have, for ourselves as well, and how do we sort of get out of that?
Easy. We have to remember that we are the oldest living people and culture in the world. That is something to be more than proud of.
Mm.
And if you're not, well, then, you got to really think about that.
Mm.
That's what I take with me, and that's what gives me strength. Is who I am and where I come from and my people. And I grew up like you, like every other black person. If I can do it, then so can you, so can everyone else. There's no excuses anymore.
Yes.
We've got to take control of our own healing. Stop relying on government. Stop relying on funding from all other services. I don't get funding. I'm just out there doing it because this is my cultural responsibility to be able to do this. If we keep putting up excuses, then that's what we're going to get. We're going to get barriers, aren't we? Yeah. So we just got to keep moving forward and keep empowering each other. And that's what I do.
Deadly. And if you're just tuning in to Let's Talk, Rosie McGrady is my guest this morning from Culturally Informed Practices. There is an event this Thursday from 8:30 to 12. 8:30 to 3:30. At Jaggera Hall in Musgrave Park. The address, if you are looking for it, is 121 Cordelia Street, South Brisbane. I know that because I spent that much time in that hall over the last however many years, so I never forget that address. What we might do is take a quick song break and come back as well. And I'd love to sort of yarn about, the challenges. And I don't want to sort of stick to that much as well, because, I sort of get that from you as well, that, that, you know, there's more empowerment within us than there is sort of doubt.
Healing.
Let's talk about healing. Yes, we'll have a chat about that after. We'll head to Mitch Turnbo with Love. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM.
Gumtree.
is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
That was Roger Knox. And before that, there we have Mitch Tambo. Two good morning followers from back home. Playing some amazing songs. Straight to Tamworth. By the man himself, the Corey Elvis. I think they were calling him for a very, very long time, or maybe still calling him. Amazing songs. But if you are tuning in to Let's Talk, my guest this morning is Rosie McGrady from Culturally Informed Practices, an approach to sort of healing trauma from a First Nations perspective that is much needed. And before the break, I wanted to ask you, how different are the approaches to sort of, healing trauma from a Western perspective and then I guess from, an Aboriginal or a Gomori perspective or, whoever the mob is that are sort of, participating in sort of healing trauma. How different are those approaches? Just tell us, how different are those approaches?
They are absolutely different. It's like comparing apples and oranges. Yeah, they don't, Western ways don't, and the people who live in that way, they don't know us. So they don't know how to engage with us, how to deal with trauma with us, how to even speak to us. So it's, our mobs walk into these counselling rooms, all white with four walls, sit on a couch and expect to talk to and connect with strangers, people they don't know in a strange room, and healing just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen at all. Our healing happens on country. It's a relational process that happens. It's connectivity. And that doesn't happen in a counselling room.
Actually, a couple of weeks ago, me and Karina was having a chat to two brothers who, were going through or may still be going through some counselling, and their counsellor is an Aboriginal person. Nice. And they said the biggest difference with this person was, the first time we met was outside.
Yes.
And this person just wanted to sort of have a chat, have a yarn instead of know me, know me or know anything about me, the brothers were saying, and I said for the first couple, they were just sort of yarning, and then next minute, everything just sort of came out very naturally as well. And is that sort of the approach that we have to have as well? What about when, we're not sort of experts within these fields and our mob is sort of down and we want to have a yarn with them and sort of, they might be thinking, in a bad way, and we're, we're there, we're sort of vibing off how they're feeling. How do we sort of approach our mob and have this conversation as well?
It's always a bit scary when, in these situations and you're not sure what to do, So it's about sharing a safe space with that person and just really asking, are you okay, or what's going on, sis or brother? And, in that confidential way too, I guess, so that they feel safe to talk and, let them know that it's safe to talk to you and it's without any pressure and you're not going to share anything with anyone, without their permission, unless it's a child, of course. It's also about just being there to support them. You sometimes you don't have to say anything. Just let them talk. Not sometimes, probably most of the time. People just want to get things off their chest because they don't have safe spaces to be able to do this. And that's what our mob is looking for, to be able to release their trauma safely.
And so, like, it's not about sort of within that moment trying to come up with an answer or the right thing to say. It's just like, just let it out and just sort of, just let it pour out.
Yeah, just be there and support them. and share love with them. That's the biggest thing, you know. Sit there without judgment, without saying, you know, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. Oh, that's dumb saying that. Don't say those things. Say, you know, thank you for sharing this with me. I appreciate that. And what can we do together to, you know, help you? Yeah, and don't try and take over the conversation or, yeah.
You know, and I guess, you know, not to sort of be like frank about it as well, because this is that's a very serious issue that, you know, we face all across this country, you know, with our mob. You know, suicide is a massive thing, self-harm or even self-medication, you know, when talking about these things, you know, these are sort of, you know, prevalent sort of within those spaces when having these conversations not even having these conversations, you know, to sort of, you know, wash away those feelings or those thoughts and stuff as well. It is very hard because, you know, it's literally loved ones that we have that are doing these things, you know, sadly on a day-to-day basis, you know, and, you know, if there are ways, you know. So that's sort of one way to have that conversation with them, you know. Is it all right to sort of approach people that we know sort of going through these things? And then how do we sort of inform that in a conversation, or should that be sort of with somebody with sort of, you know, the expertise within that field to approach somebody, you know, that we know who is self-harming or self-medicating and doing these things? Yeah.
Oh, if they're self-harming, then, you know, whoever's there needs to to intervene, because you have no time to call a so-called expert.
Yeah.
And you know, they open up more to people who's close to them than other people. It's about being there with the person at that moment and supporting them through it. That's the biggest thing. And just say to them, you know, what can we do to keep you safe now? And don't talk too much about, you know, this person or that person will get hurt or things like that. Just keep it focused on them and about keeping them safe right now.
Definitely. Yeah. And, like, we do urge, you know, if any of our listeners, you know, do have these thoughts or feelings, you know, maybe give your local AMS a call and sort of, you know, have an appointment with a health professional. And if, you know, you need sort of further assistance, you know, talking through some of the stuff you are going through, I think through, you know, the health services, the AMSs, you can seek more help as well and support as well. What are sort of little things around home, you know, like I know I went home a couple of weeks ago and I'm going back home, you know, in a couple of weeks. And one of the things that I did before I left home, you know, was get some medicine. You know, I got some leaves to smoke my house and I got some yoruba, you know, to bathe in and to sip as well. You know, for people that are sort of living off country as well, and especially for mob living on country, how can we sort of go about sort of, you know, doing small things to sort of help us, you know, mentally or even spiritually as well?
Yeah, there's lots of things that we can still do even though we don't live on country. And I'm like you, you know, every time I go home I grab medicines and the yarrah and sandalwood and everything. But, you know, just go out and connect, put your feet on the ground. Yeah. Through our feet, that's where we get the healing the most. So connecting that to Mother Earth, you know, that's so grounding, and sometimes that's all we need, even just to lay there, you know, connecting with Mother Earth and talking to the old people as well. They're still around us. They're still listening to us. They're guiding us, you know, ask them for advice and reach out to family and friends, because, you know, if they could have a lot of cultural resources as well. Yeah, and that's what we're about. We're about sharing, and, you know, that's what we do well, and that's what heals us.
Yeah, I remember talking to Derek, Dr. Derek Chong. He would come on quite a bit, and every time, you know, we would chat to him, he'd say, before I go home, you know, I pull up, go to like a park or sort of, you know, the bush and whatever. On his way home, he just take his shoes off and sort of just go for a walk, you know. And he goes, you know, like, I'm going home. You know, that's my family life. You know, that's where his babies are and, you know, his partner and whatnot. And he goes, you know, I leave work back at work. You know, and one of the things that I do to sort of process that is sort of take my shoes off, put my feet on the ground and go for a quick walk, you know, to sort of de-stress and not bring that sort of negative energy home as well. You know, so even you sort of mentioning that as well. Which is something really, really important. Another thing as well, this year for our mob has been massive.
Yes.
And in particular, you know, we had bushfire. I've mentioned this that many times on the programs. Or you know, at the beginning of the year, end of last year, we had bushfires pretty much nearly all over the country. You know, then invasion day sort of rolls over, and it's this constant battle that we have. You know, and you know, the aftermath of that still hangs around for like a month or so. And then, you know, they're ramping up for the celebration of Captain Cook as well. And then bang, at the beginning of that there, that got stopped and cancelled due to coronavirus as well. And then at the height of the coronavirus, you know, there was this global sort of, you know, push to stop black deaths in custody and to, you know, to support black lives in America. Massive year for our mob, you know. And everything that sort of came our way, you know, like we literally couldn't turn our phone on, turn the TV on, you know, newspapers. It was just all surrounding us as well. And especially being simple answers, just sort of switching it off, not to sort of be surrounded by those things. But how do we not sort of get caught up in those things? Because I did personally. Like I remember the big rally that we had here in Brisbane. It was the Friday or the Saturday it was. And by like even like Tuesday, Wednesday, like I just felt like emotionally just drained here at work and at home as well. But, you know, how do we sort of come out of this year thinking that, you know, as bad as it was, you know, at some points throughout this year, we can sort of, you know, spend the rest of the year thinking about how deadly, you know, we're going to be and how deadly we are. How do we sort of change that as well?
Oh, it's been a massive year, hasn't it? Mm. It's just, like you said, trauma on top of trauma. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel that and we all feel that every day in our households, in our communities. And even without all that political stuff, all the other deaths in our communities, you know, sorry business is just... Yeah. Non-stop, one after the other.
And even at the height of the pandemic as well, you know what I mean? Like it was, you know, funeral after funeral, but then the approach to sort of going to these funerals were different. You know, you had to sort of stream them online and only a handful were allowed to go. So, you know, just sort of the emotional strain that that would have had, you know, not be able to say goodbye, you know, to your mob as well.
Oh, that impacted my family so very much. I think from... my family's perspective, we were one of the first ones to have a funeral in the pandemic with my nephew passing away. And it was just such a traumatizing experience. We had the police standing there watching us, videoing, out at Toomala on the mission. Yeah, we all had to sit apart. We couldn't touch each other. And I'm up there reading the eulogy and it just wasn't okay. And... you know, I believe the government needs to respond to this. Yeah, you know, they put all the money into this coronavirus pandemic. Now they need to respond to all the trauma it's caused. Yeah, because we couldn't do sorry business properly out there. Even though we were on our own country, our own dirt where we grew up, the police were still there watching us and it was disgraceful on their part. And, you know, we still live with that now because we didn't get to say goodbye properly. Mm-hmm. And so many other families like my family, and sorry if this is triggering for any listeners out there, I know it's hard, but we do, like you said, your question, what do? We do need to keep ourselves, I guess, mentally sane and mentally okay for our kids and our communities, and I guess pick your battles. You don't have to go and fight every fight, because I don't. If I did, I wouldn't be able to come in here and talk and wouldn't be able to do my healing work. We all have strengths, you know, and so give each person a job. And that's what how we work in my family, so that we're all not burning out. And it's about supporting each other and being there and coming back to the circle and having those yarns all the time and having them with love. That's the biggest thing, is to share love.
You know, definitely, because, it has been pretty full on. Even, you know, when I was coming back home a couple of weeks ago, there was, you know, like, I think it was like two or three different funerals in like three different communities where mob was sort of just traveling back and forth from them as well, you know, and sort of, this would have been just outside of sort of, you know, the restrictions and stuff as well. But, you know, we've still got, 2 months to sort of, you know, a month to go in the year. And, you know, we've sort of experienced as much as sort of anybody, you know, could, you know, in 1 year, or not even in a year, you know what I mean? Like the stuff that our mob have been through, you know, one thing, you know, that sort of says is how resilient, you know, we are, and sort of, you know, we can survive, you know, under, you know, pandemics or in crises and all these different things. We, you know, we continue to sort of thrive within those spaces, you know, and I guess from outside of that, you know, looking in, you know, we see sort of different things sort of popping up here, there and everywhere. And, you know, I guess outside this pandemic, you know, your group has sort of popped up out of this as well to sort of, you know, be a sort of beacon, you know, for our community members as well. That event is this Friday. Is this Thursday from 8:30 to 3 p.m. down at Jaguar Hall in Musgrave Park, 121 Cordelia Street, South Brisbane. And if you are tuning in, my guest this morning is Rosie McGrady from Tumala, just over the border. And we're having a yarn about culturally informed practices, which is a launch of Rosie's business that's happening this Thursday. What is coming up on Thursday? You did mention it at the beginning of the program, but for anybody that is just tuning in, could you let us know a bit about the day and what people can expect?
Yeah, absolutely. Yum, everyone. So in the morning, I'll be delivering a professional development, and that's open to all professionals who's working in trauma space with our mob, Aboriginal, non-Aboriginal, you know, high-level management to youth workers, you know, everyone, come in, because I'm going to be educating you on how to decolonize mental health practices, which is so important. This needs to happen to keep our mob engaged and to heal trauma, you know. So hopefully you can come along to that. And then Tracy Hardy from Wattle Seed, she will be talking around decolonizing food and what we eat and food sovereignty, again, which is just so important to our health and who we are. And then in the afternoon, Matthew Bond and I will be facilitating a ceremony circle, which is pretty special. Yeah, using our ways and our traditional medicines and language to, you know, connect everyone.
Deadly.
Yeah.
And like I was saying, that event kicks off at 8:30 to 3 down at Jaguar Hall in Musgrove Park. So head on down there. How can people sort of follow what you're doing on social media as well, if they can't sort of be there in person, but they sort of want to be informed about what you were doing and sort of how? Where can they find you on social media?
Yeah, so if you go to Culturally Informed Practices, that's my Facebook page. There's also a website. It's cipi.net.au. And all the information and registration links are all on there. And, you know, I update it constantly with what's happening and groups that I'm facilitating and training and, you know, what's happening. Yeah, so jump on and have a look.
definitely jump on, follow, like it, you know, and keep up to date with sort of what Rosie has in store, not just for this Thursday, but, you know, with what's coming up and sort of how, you know, in her new group that they approach healing as well, because, you know, that's what we want to sort of, that's what we need to sort of be on at the moment as well, not just sort of within this year and how big it has been, but just in general as well, because, you know, if we can't heal ourselves and, you know, we're sort of no good to anybody else, especially if we have family or kids or whatever else. And, you know, it's important that we take that approach as well. I want to say a big thanks, Rosie, for coming on the program this morning, having a yarn with us, sharing your time, driving all the way from the north side, getting stuck in the city and taking the wrong turns and stuff as well.
Yeah. I'm just a little mission girl.
Yeah.
Trying to find my way in the city.
only a couple streets, you know, in Toomer or in Bogger, not that many.
That's right.
Mm.
My nieces are laughing at me.
Yeah. If you've enjoyed the program this morning, you can catch the repeat at 7 p.m. tonight. Or go to our website at 989fm.com.au and follow the links to the podcast. And this will be up a little bit later on in the day. Or check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcast, where you can stream us. Or our website, you can listen to us on demand at 989fm.com.au. And as always, it is a pleasure. Taking us out is Roger Knox again. This one is Warrior in Change. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 989FM.
It was a cold and rainy summer night when I first heard his song. I was sitting in a prison cell, wondering where my life had gone. As I heard his guitar playing low, I listened to the words, and the song he sang was soft and low, was the saddest I had heard. When you're locked behind those cold gray walls, it's a long and lonely ride. After 6 long years in a prison cell, I guess the young man's dreams had died. I heard him crying late one night as I was lying in the dark. He started singing out his song, and he sang it from the heart. He sang, play for me the song of thunder, bring to me a dream. I left my youth behind me in all the places I have been. Let your black clouds open over me, or cleanse me with your rain. Let your four winds bring some freedom to the warrior in chains. There's two things that don't go together well. That's a black man and a prison cell. The cold remorse, the aggravation. You're not even missed on the mission station. And the guilty ones who those who blame. The black man who hangs his head in shame. Instead of letting him build his pride, you force another senseless suicide. When they tried to wake him in the morning, they found that he was dead. But I knew his spirit was flying free in those dark clouds overhead. When we gathered in the chapel, I swore I heard him sing his song. And as the rains poured from those thunderclouds, I just had to sing along. Won't you play for me that song of thunder? Bring to me a dream. I left my youth behind me in all the places I have been. Let your black clouds open over me, oh, cleanse me with your rain. Let your four winds bring some freedom to the warrior in chains.
If your Jajam turns 4 by June 30 next year, do you know that they can start kindy in January 2021? So now is the time to enrol them in kindy to give them the best start in life. Kindy is a deadly choice, as it not only allows for play-based learning, but it also helps our little ones develop skills like making friends, expressing themselves, and learn problem-solving. Plus, if they have a health check at a participating community-controlled health service, they will receive a deadly kindy kit filled with a whole heap of items they need to start kindy, including a backpack, lunchbox, water bottle, blanket, and a special deadly kindy shirt. Give your child a deadly start and enrol them into kindy. Or visit www.deadlykindies.com.au to find out more. For some at-home fun learning, search for Deadly Kindies on YouTube.
A message from the Institute for Urban Indigenous Health.
Station sponsor.